Program has been translated and adapted from the Greek Cypriot Orthodox radio program, Orthodoxy Today, which presents partial autobiographical elements of three elders, Porphyrios, Iakovos, and Evmenios. During this program, Mr. Kletos Ioannidis interviews the Metropolitan of Morphou, Neophytos, at the Metropolis of Morphou, and discusses some of the aspects of the lives of these three great Greek elders. These three great elders left an indelible mark in the life of the Metropolitan Neophytos, who had the great blessing to be very close to all of them, and the presence of the elders played a very decisive role in the life of His Eminence and enriched the life of the Church in general. Again, His Eminence, Metropolitan Neophytos, had the great blessing from God to get to know the great elders of Greek Orthodoxy very closely, Father Porphyrios, Father Iakovos Tsalikis, and Father Evmenios. At this point of the interview, Mr. Kletos Ioannidis asks His Eminence about his first encounter with Father Porphyrios. Mr. Kleto, I can say that Elder Porphyrios was the beginning of my beginning, my turning point, so to speak, which led me to look for and to come to know whatever spiritual knowledge I acquired in the area of Greece, and this during my initial university years at the age of 19 when I came to Greece for my higher education. While visiting Elder Porphyrios, I must say that he perceived and analyzed my character extremely well, but he coerced me to make Father Iakovos Tsalikis of Evia my geronta. He said, "Elder Iakovos is a sensitive man, and you should attempt to connect your spiritual journey with sensitive people. You can come here from time to time so we can discuss things, but your spiritual father should be Father Iakovos." What caused me to visit Elder Porphyrios at that time was a certain predicament which I was facing in my choice of studies as a university student. And while sometimes we visit an illumined elder, a man of God, to talk about a minor problem too, in the final analysis, the great traumas of our existence are revealed to the elder, to the man of God, which are not minor, They're not a problem in education or finances or emotional, or a problem of erotic or physical attraction, problems that push us to often visit an elder for guidance, but in the process, the great trauma is revealed and the trauma is man himself. So I visited Elder Porfirios to help me if I should continue my studies in law school or if I should choose something else, as my own will was telling me at the time. I was in my first year of pre-law, and the elder expressed to me, and now I sense that those were prophetic words. He told me, "You must stay in law school, and you will do well. You will receive your degree 1 year late, however, not because you're not bright. You're bright enough, but during that time, you will discover the monasteries, and you will be involved with religious tourism." The elder was often quite humorous with his expressions. He meant that I would run from monastery to monastery, often overlooking and often at the expense of my studies. And this is exactly how it happened. Instead of finishing in 4 years, I took 5 years to complete my studies in law school because I did not study very much, choosing rather to constantly visit different monasteries. By the way, I don't recommend this to today's students. I would like to see the students be students and to study your field of science, whichever it may be. As the Lord says, you should do these things and not neglecting, not at the expense of others, without neglecting the other things. Because science and education is really a natural gift from God. And I did obedience to Elder Porfirios at the time and stayed in the study of law, and especially made it a point to tell me with his prophetic gift that this degree will be necessary to the Church of Cyprus in the future. And later on, this reality became obvious when I became a member of the Synod, and my legal background proved to be very, very useful for the Church. But he stressed to me to also visit Father Iacobus. "Excuse me, Your Eminence, before we go to Father Iacobus, I would like you to tell us about your overall sense about Father Porfirios. Could you somehow define it? You already touched upon his prophetic gifts, the proratikon, as we say, with the way he solved your problem, but these sanctified people leave us with certain tastes, with some special sense. And maybe the presence of the Holy Spirit also helps us to feel this something else, which is often hard to define, and yet it is of a definable dimension within the Church." Yes, this very thing that you expressed as taste, I think it to be very precise, very astute, because in reality, these saints and the elders of the Church are trees full of sweet and ripe fruit, and every tree has its own fruit and its own distinctive and individual taste. Essentially, the taste that I received from Elder Porfirios, at least as I experienced it at the time as the young student Omiros, as I was named in the world, was the taste of being with a psychographist, one who knew to record and listen to the sounds of each individual soul. I believe this to be his very special charisma, something that I did not find in Elder Iacobus. I found something very different in Elder Iacobus, or Elder Paisios of the Holy Mountain, or Elder Evmenios of Limodos. You could find something very different in each saintly father, and I believe this to be very, very significant. We need to bring this up today especially, and we need to keep it in mind so we don't absolutize the persons of different elders and the charismas of different elders. Each elder in the Church has his own individual gift, his taste. He has the density of thoughts and messages to enrich each one individually. The quality of Elder Porfirios, which made a great impression on me every time that I happened to visit him, and what touched the bottom of my soul was the fact that every time I was in front of him, he revealed to me a different part of myself. I remember towards the end of my student life when I decided to ask for his blessing to come to Cyprus to stay. I wanted to see him. And I told him, Yeronda, I'm going back to Cyprus to become a monk at the monastery of St. George in Larnaca with Father Simeon. This monastery is not thriving at this point. It simply serves more so as a pilgrimage in the world. But I feel this to be my calling from above to go there and continue my spiritual journey. He tells me, now what are you going to do there? It's better for you to go to the Holy Mountain, go to Kavsokalivya. I tell him, but I don't want to go to Kavsokalivya, I want to go to Cyprus. No, you must go to Kavsokalivya. It'll be better for you. I have a synodia there, very close to me, and I will introduce you to them. And believe me, I don't give this information to many people. Understand, this is a special favor and honor for you. I tell him, Yeronda, we have a friendly relationship, you and I. But as you know, my spiritual responsibility falls on Father Iakovos firsthand and on Father Evmenios secondhand. Both of them told me, my son, you must go to Cyprus. When he heard this very humble man of God, I noticed that he became very quiet for a few moments. I got the feeling that he prayed that specific moment. And then he turns and tells me in a totally different tone, my son, whatever I told you previously was of my own mind and from the love that I have for your person. And that's the reason I wanted you to go to my synodia. But these things that I told you, my child, were not from God. What the other two elders told you is from God. You should go to Cyprus, and God will bless your efforts. What never ceases to amaze me, how such a great elder, I believe him to be a saint, and most likely the dean of contemporary saints, the leading Greek elder of the 20th century. When this holy man heard the names of the two other elders whom he honored and loved very much, how he immediately bowed down to them. And afterwards, he remained silent for a few moments, and then he told me, very well, non obligimeno, with God's blessing. I remember him blessing me with both of his hands the way the archpriests bless. And after a couple moments of silence, he tells me the following, go, but not immediately. You must wait a year to a year and a half. But, elder, isn't this a very long time? He continued, you know something? You're going to be ordained in a holy priesthood, and your soul needs a little more refinement. So try to postpone your monastic ordination to a year or 18 months. And I said, elder, if you see something in myself that I need to work on, please let me know, so I can prepare myself for the priesthood. Please tell me. And at that moment, my dear Mr. Clito, he started to single out and spell out different elements of my personality that I had never seen. Details about thoughts. Did you ever have this thought, this feeling? Like an x-ray machine. And at some point, the questions were so personal that I felt that this man entered my past and followed along my life, and not simply my historical past, but he entered the subconscious of my past. He entered into the depths of psychology, as the contemporary psychologists say. Did you ever think of this? Did you have this feeling, this movement in your heart, your body, your mind? He managed to cover the entire spectrum of my human existence, my own existence. I remember being especially joyful. I was exhilarated from this very, very deep experience that this blessed man of God compelled me to enter. And something else took place at that very moment. I began to sense a powerful fragrance overtake the room, a fragrance that was indescribable, and he became aware that I sensed it. And he said, "Now listen, you, after you leave and go outside, don't go saying that Father Porfirius is fragrant. This fragrance is not from me, vre." This vre was very characteristic of Father Porfirius, something like AU. "So this fragrance is not from me, but I simply have some relics of the saints here with me. And when a pure confession takes place, they rejoice along with me, and that's why they become fragrant, my son. Do you understand?" The way of the saints, they know how to hide themselves, how to hide their virtues and gifts. Should we continue a little bit more with Father Porfirius? As you said earlier, the Holy Spirit has a multitude of gifts, and it is not possible for one elder to have all the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the entire divinity inside of him. And sometimes people in the world may have the impression that some elders are not in agreement with some others. This is not the case. The one fulfills the other, and each one has a special gift. What I would like to emphasize here about Father Porfirius, and everyone agrees with this, that the special gift of this elder was the gift of clairvoyancy and the gift of foreseeing, of seeing things of the future. Now, such an elder who possess these gifts to such an extent, to such a degree, where some people of much higher spirituality than ours have claimed that a gift of this degree is given every 300 to 400 years in the church, and Elder Porfirius's clairvoyancy was not limited to the person standing next to him. What sins you may have done in your past, and what kind of background you came from. He was the man who could accurately tell you that in the constellation of this cluster of stars, the orbit of this particular star was not calculated properly by the astronomers. He could search the water table of the Earth from miles away. He could detect mineral deposits in the Earth, copper ores. He could tell you that under your house there's metal, or there's a sinkhole, or a fault line. In other words, he had a clear vision. He had a clear picture of the universe around him. He could see the under-earthly, the earthly, and the heavenly. He could see the past and the future. And now, such a man who could unite the past, the present, and the future as a continuous present, he systematically avoided prophesying about the signs of the end of times. This is a very strong message for a time like ours regarding the year 2000, which has created a fertile ground for a plethora of prophecies and revelations from mostly unqualified people. Unfortunately, we don't have prophecy, we have prophetic speculation from self-called interpreters of prophecy and self-declared prophets and saints who attempt to interpret prophecies of old saints, and they don't always understand that the church works synodically. The church is a synaxis, and since the synod of the church has not expressed itself on these matters, then each person cannot interpret any way they please. And here, an elder Porfirius, with all the necessary credentials, avoided prophesying about apocalyptic events and times, about the Antichrist, about the second coming of Christ, about catastrophes and wars, about Hellenism and Orthodoxy. This man was a universal elder. He did not limit God to the area of Hellenism. Of course, we're concerned about our political and existential problem. I'm a bishop of a metropolis under Turkish occupation, and I have every reason to rejoice about the realization of some of these ethnic prophecies. Who wouldn't? But my personal desire is one thing, and the ecclesiastical phronema is something else, which first and foremost introduces us to the heavenly citizenry and to the will of God, and teaches us to submit to God's will. So a man like Elder Porfirius, While richly endowed with rare gifts of clairvoyancy and foretelling, he systematically avoided statements about specific apocalyptic events. Again, this should make us think a great deal, because many writings and many books have been circulating, making certain ungrounded claims, not helpful to the faithful, to say the least. These unhealthy attempts to satisfy people's curiosity are not new. The apostles had to deal with these things and rumors even in the first decades of the church. And the Acts of the Apostles and St. Paul often speaks about false brothers and false prophets. I especially remember when I became a deacon in Cyprus, I continued to visit Elder Iacobos. I used to see the elder about 3-4 times a year. And I remember the fever of all the people back then. Now, this goes back a few years before year 2000, about the future, about the signs of the times, 666, etc. And I told him one time, Elder, what is your opinion? As you know, in Athens, in Cyprus, there's a number of different books circulating, a book of a Greek Archimandrite title, The Second Coming of Christ. It has become a bestseller. What do you say about all these things? And why don't you speak on these matters so that people and our Christians will clearly understand how to stand, how to proceed, and what should be the stance of the church? And I remember Elder Iacobos responding with a very authoritative tone, something very rare for the elder. He spoke much more humbly than all the elders that I met. He used to call himself a dumb thing, a smelly dog. He often used to use these types of expressions for his person. However, for this subject concerning future prophecies, he said, "Listen to me, my neophyte, Elder Porphyrios and Dom Iacobos, do not speak about anything, not the things of the present, nor of the things to come, unless the Holy Spirit expressly reveals to them. And up to this point, the Holy Spirit has not revealed any such thing to me, not about the Antichrist, nor about wars to come, or about the future." These are the exact words of Elder Iacobos, and I'm not adding or subtracting from these words. Thank you for these comments, Your Eminence, because it is so important, especially in our days marked by so much confusion and much speculation about times or dates the Father has set by His own authority. And here, Mr. Clito, I must mention to you that there is an epistle held by a monastery of the Holy Mountain, and it would be good for the holders of this epistle to publicize it at some point. This happens to be an epistle of Elder Porphyrios sent to Elder Paisios. Now, I understand that the content of this epistle may challenge some of our spiritual brothers, but it is good to be challenged this way. Now and then it is good. It is better to be challenged than to fall into exaggerations. This epistle says, "And this from a man who revered and honored Father Paisios very much. Father Porphyrios himself told me that Father Paisios is a man of God, and he wrote to him, 'My dear Father Paisios, what happened to you? If Constantinople will be freed or not, this is the concern of the politicians and of the military rulers, and not of the monks, not even the archpriests. If the Antichrist will come, this must be the concern of the archpriests, and it is their duty to inform the people. And when that time comes, God will provide us with illumined archpriests who will in turn illumine the people. We the monks, if we are members of the priesthood, we need to liturgize for the salvation of the entire universe. And if we happen to be simple monks, we need to cry about our sins. Now, because of my love for you and knowing how much you love Christ, I am giving you a rule not to talk about these things again, influenced out of your great love for Asia Minor and Hellenism." And Father Paisios, this great man of God, did obedience to this great elder of elders, Father Porphyrios. And since then, he kept silent about these things because he realized that the smallest comment he would make would be often exaggerated by his highly impressionable visitors. And not to mention that some of these prophetic sayings were not his, but he was quoted by different people and again misquoted. And at some point he was also quoting some things from a notebook of his spiritual father, Saint Arsenius of Cappadocia, who happened to be his godfather. Saint Arsenius had received a gift of prophecy, and he recorded a number of things. And Elder Paisios would make some comments based on this notebook, which he had in his possession. Now, what can we conclude from all this other than marvel the great spirit of discretion of Father Porphyrios, the spirit of watchfulness, vigilance, and patient endurance? But in order to have this patient endurance regarding the future events, whether social or political or personal, the exercise of patience is extremely necessary. And patience, according to the fathers, is also related to the place, to my environment. And if I stay at a certain place, a certain environment, I accept the overall climate of the territory, I patiently endure my general problems, and I wait for God to speak. And I don't rush. I don't run ahead. Excellent point, Your Eminence, because if I remember correctly, after the departure of these elders, some persons felt compelled to take their place. They came forth speaking excessively, often exaggerating, and prophesying using their own intellect, their own reason. And unfortunately, when we have this kind of a phenomenon, it makes the work of the church difficult. Very good point, Mr. Kalito, because essentially, the work of the church is to liberate men, to redeem men, and when these speakers are always leaning towards the signs of the times and the future, this mania about the things to come, this often alienates people from the essence of spirituality, from their personal struggle, the purification of the heart, our personal trauma, as we said, and our need to become well, to cure our passions. This is the heart of the problem. One time I asked Father Evmenios about these things, and he responded very simply. He was the most simple of all the elders. He was a man of very few words. He did not like the endless spiritual talk, the everyday spiritual questions. He needed to be inspired by someone or by something in order to speak. And when I asked him about all these prophetic talks of our days, he said, "You know, I personally don't believe that Christ would only give 2,000 years of grace to the world. Just doesn't seem very long to me." Your Eminence, these are truly important pieces of information, and it would be good for some people to hear these things, especially those who have turned the Holy Scriptures, the holy texts of the Book of the Revelation, into daily news, attempting to give answers to current events, often announcing dates, and this is certainly not the work of the Holy Spirit, and not the work of serious people, I don't think.
Εν είτε αυτόν εν την πάνω και χωρώ, εν είτε αυτόν εν χορδές και οργάνω, φάσαντες πίστη, πως το Κύριον πάθος Χριστού που Θεού την άφα τον αυτού
Your Eminence, can we now spend a few moments with the life of your elder, Father Iacobos, who proved to be a true vessel of the Most Holy Spirit, having exercised the virtue of extreme humility, something that exalted him so highly. He became very well known inside the entire Orthodox world with his statement, Me sichorite, or please forgive me. He used to repeat this over and over again, every other sentence. But at the same time, he was a person who lived the resurrection of the Lord. I happened to watch his funeral service on a video, and I felt the presence of the Lord's resurrection. This is a good observation, Mr. Clito. And yes, Elder Iacobos was the one who would say over 50 times during a conversation, forgive me. Forgive me for what I'm about to tell you. And you walked away from him. When you would walk away from him, you were full of the feelings of consolation, joy, feeling that this life is worth living, that it is an important matter to be an Orthodox Christian, to be a human being, to be simply alive. And this was the special taste, the special sense you received from this elder, and not necessarily from the previously discussed teachers of imaginary prophecies and prophetologies. When you were in his presence, he made you feel that life is so beautiful, it's worth living. And especially, of course, if I live this life according to God's law. Christ came to give us life, and a life of fullness, abundant life. And this abundancy of God was filling Elder Iacobos, and he was transferring this to his visitors. When you walked away from him, you felt that you were leaving a piece of paradise. However, the rest of the world was not hell, as some make it out to be. In my own world, during my years in Athens as a student, and later on in Cyprus, it can be transformed into the paradise lived by Elder Iacobos. You felt this. You did not feel your life to be minimized because you lived something of a great experience in front of him. Your Eminence, Papus Panagis, just came to my mind. He was saying when you would go to see an elder, you don't only feel this joy, peace, inner beauty, all these essential elements. But he used to say to some of the refugee women who were visiting, I hope now that you receive plenty of spiritual supplies and spiritual deposits so you can somehow regulate yourselves in your difficult life of being refugees. Very, very nice. That's very true. Of course, when we visit the elders, we receive these spiritual deposits so we can withdraw when we are out in the world. Mr. Clito, in Elder Iacobos, I personally found a father, someone who knew how to adopt the very people that God entrusted to him. The very thing that St. Paul was saying, if you have 10,000 guardians and teachers in Christ, you do not have many fathers, for in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. This is befitting of Elder Porfirios, Elder Paisios, Elder Evmenios. But for me, the one whom I looked upon as a father was this man of God, Father Iacobos. Glory be to God. He became my spiritual guide, and I used to go there during the holidays, during Christmas, during Pascha, during the Feast of the Forerunner, and I stayed with him through the entire feast period during the beheading of the Baptist, the 29th of August. I used to stay 5-6 days. And since there were only 3 fathers, 3 monks during that time, I was somehow considered to be the 4th. And I needed to be present often to help out in the area of hospitality, to serve sweets to the pilgrims, to chant. And this way, I lived this monastery. I dare to say that this was my first monastery, and this relationship with the monastery of St. David is maintained to this day. It is a continuous and ongoing relationship. Along with the gift of spiritual fatherhood, he also had the gift of healing people bothered and possessed by demons, and the gift of consolation. He had the ability to comfort people to lighten their burdens. Father Porfirius used to say when he was visited by demon-possessed people and their families, he would say, "Listen, I was not given a healing gift of this sort from God to expel demons. You need to go see the most humble man of Greece, Father Iakovos." And he used to send them straight to him, and they would become well. And even now that the elder has fallen asleep in the Lord, he continues to have this gift of healing. He heals many illnesses, and some of my Hagarite friends made the comment that he may be the Saint Nectarius of the 21st century. At some point, Father Porfirius asked me, "How's your elder, Father Iakovos?" I said, "He's doing well, thank God, but he has some health problems, elder. If you would like to know, your elder and I will die together." At that point, I thought inside of me, "Bite your tongue. My elder is much younger. He's going to live much longer." Elder Porfirius said, "Don't tell me to bite my tongue. This is how it shall be. You will see." Years went by, and Elder Iakovos slept first, and a week later, Elder Porfirius followed. What grace were these people given by God to foreknow their time of death, and how much love they had for each other. Great love, such great love. Your Eminence, can we mention now a few things about Elder Evmenios, who's very dear to me, by the way. He has a special place in my heart. Of course, he slept in the Lord in May of 1999. And the feeling I got about this man is that he was between heaven and earth, and the purpose of his presence was simply to remind us about the other world. With this man, I had a parallel spiritual relationship, Mr. Clito, along with Father Iakovos. Father Iakovos was my spiritual guide, the one guiding young Omiros back then, how to enter the church, how to cure their wounds of the soul, of his past. This was the task of Father Iakovos. Father Evmenios, with his silence, with his patience, the elder of joy, he was especially the elder of joy and pain at the same time, the leper. He was the priest of the community of lepers of Athens, himself being infected by leprosy from his youth, and now he served the community hospital of lepers. This man was my father confessor because Elder Iakovos was far away, and I wish to confess my thoughts, my sins as a human being. So I found this man, and when I first met him, he was quite young. He was 49 years old. He was born in 1931 in Crete, and he had this great love for his birthplace. He requested to be buried in Crete, even though he spent most of his life in Athens. His character could easily be understood only in the context of the man of Crete. He was a kritikos, a brave soul, a brave man in general, a levendis, as we say in Greek, levendis anthropos. This man received God's light very young. He truly felt the light in his heart. And this happened while he was speaking to his sister Amalia. He told her, "Amalia, the light of Christ just came to my heart. I must now go and become a monk at the monastery of St. Nikitas, a small monastery of the nearby area of Heraklion." And he goes and becomes a monk there, and he accepts the great cross of the disease of leprosy, and his elder had to tell him, "My child, you cannot stay with us here any longer because of your condition." Leprosy was very infectious back then. Shortly after that, his elder took him, supplied him with some money, and put him on a small boat heading towards the isolated colony of lepers on a deserted island of Pinalanga, and later they transferred them to the community hospital of lepers in Athens. There, he met Elder Nikephoros, spiritual child of St. Anthimos of Chios, a man of a great spiritual stature. In the book of St. Onesimus of Hears, there's a special chapter for Elder Nikephoros. Elder Nikephoros had the reputation of the saint among the lepers. This is what they called him. And here in 3 years, under his eldership, Evmenios learned the trade or the technique of noetic prayer. Subsequently, Elder Nikephoros dies, and Evmenios is already the elder trained by the great patience needed for the condition of leprosy from the isolation. We must mention that back then the lepers were quarantined. The grounds were enclosed by tall steel fences, and communication with outsiders was strictly prohibited. Only after 1965, the lepers began to have contact with the rest of the healthy people of Athens. And to our dismay, we discover that those of us on the outside were ill, while most of the people inside this particular leprosy quarters achieved sainthood. Like Evangelio, for example, what a saint. This woman was a saint, a leper, blind, paralyzed. Her hands were totally eaten by leprosy. She had no hands at all. Yet these people were full of grace. They knew how to pray incessantly. So let's look at a recipe from Father Evmenios, since many people today like to have a recipe. Father Evmenios read prayers 5 hours a day. He read from the great Orologion, the Hours, the Psalter, Paraclitiki, 5 hours every day, like Papa Nicholas Planas. And many would tell him, "You're the new Nicholas Planas of Athens." And he used to say, "Not at all. He's a saint. And I'm nothing of that sort." He celebrated liturgy almost every day, and towards the end of his life, he used to go to many, many homes of the area of Athens, and even the suburbs, because the residents discovered that his prayers and blessings were very powerful and heard by God. So he ran all over the Athenian valley to read blessings, supplications, and holy unction services. He was a man of great spiritual stature, a precious diamond. Towards the end of his life, he remained in the Athenian hospital Evangelismos, and he heard that the Archbishop of Athens and all Greece, Seraphim, was on his deathbed. He loved the Archbishop, and he generally honored and revered all bishops. He never criticized anyone, and he never passed any judgment on a single human being. Never. So he heard that Seraphim is dying, so he mentions to one of my friends, priest monk, "Please, Father Yanavia, I want you to take me to get the blessing of the Archbishop." And even though the Archbishop Seraphim was in a coma, when the man of God Evmenios kneels next to him, he opens his eyes, he confesses to Elder Evmenios, and the latter leaves full of joy. He goes back to the hospital, and after a few days, the nurses heard him chant the Archbishop's theme, "Seraphim, the most blessed Archbishop of all Greece, Seraphim to Makariotatu, Ketheprovlitu, Mitropolitu." "Elder, what's come over you? And you're chanting the Archbishop's theme. Seraphim is leaving. He's leaving. His soul is being carried by angels in heaven." "Elder, the Archbishop did not die yet." "No, he just left. He just left us." Not long after that, the nurses were extremely surprised to see on television a special news report. "The Archbishop of Athens and all Greece has slept in the Lord a few minutes ago." And here the Elder Evmenios had reported this before the television's newscast. He had his own television inside of him, and he was so humble that he hid it. Most of the time, he hid his gifts. Father Porfirios used to tell me that this man is a true saint. He prays to God to keep his gifts hidden and not to be revealed until the very end of his life, and that's how it came to be. And Father Porfirios used to tell me when I was a student, "Please, Vyomire, do me a favor and bring me Father Evmenios so I can confess, so I can see a man, a human being." "What do you mean, Elder? You have dozens of people around you every day, and you speak to them, you see them all the time, And you want to see a man?
Yes, Omiros, I want someone who speaks my language, so please bring me Father Avmenius so I can confess.
Now, if you went to a normal everyday priest like myself and our peers and you would tell them, Father Porfirios needs confession, we would start the humble talk. Who am I to hear the confession of a saint? I'm unworthy. The humble talk, which usually lacks humility. Now listen to Father Avmenius' simplistic approach. I mentioned to him, Elder, I'm going to find someone with a car to take us to Father Porfirios one of these days because he wants to have the sacrament of confession. Father Avmenius replied very simply and naturally, Go ahead, find a driver and I will take a Petrahili and we'll be on our way. Very simply, without any further superfluous comments and vain words. No idle talk. So I did find someone to drive us and took Father Avmenius to Father Porfirios. And when he came out of the confessional, we were eyewitnesses of a man who just descended from Mount Sinai. We saw the face of Father Avmenius take the color of a red-hot brick, radiating a glow similar to the face of Moses when Moses was coming down from Mount Sinai with a fiery red-hot face. We were shocked at the sight of his face. And then Father Avmenius waved for me to go near him, and he took a few thousand drachmas, and he said, Give this to Father Porfirios to use in his building fund for all these projects that he's undertaking around here. So I took the money, and I went to Elder Porfirios, and I told him, Elder, this is from Elder Avmenius, to use for your building expenses here. He tells me, You have an awesome responsibility. You are around a great man of God, and please, my son, as long as you are around Athens, bring him to me now and then so I can confess. You have no idea how much rest my soul found today and how much it was refreshed from this fountain of Crete. Your Eminence, thank you for sharing this great blessing with us. Great blessing indeed. To close the segment, I asked Elder Avmenius, How did you get to know Father Porfirios? Because they had great love between them. And the truth is that Elder Porfirios was the link that connected all of them, Paisios, Iakovos, Avmenius, and that's why I call him the Dean of Elders. And Father Avmenius answered me, Let me tell you, after Saint Nectarius healed me, as we mentioned before, he was a leper, and Saint Nectarius appeared to him and healed him so he could become a priest. He healed his hands. So every Saturday, the other lepers used to give me money so I could do their shopping from the public marketplace of Athens in Omonia. And I could not help notice outside of the polyclinic, another Athenian hospital, where Father Porfirios was the chaplain for years. So as I was walking outside of this polyclinic, I was seeing a priest full of light, surrounded by light. And I kept wondering, who is this man? He's a priest in the world. Father Porfirios, by the way, did not dress like a monk. And this is a very fine detail, which says a lot. Father Porfirios, all the years in Athens, never wore anything to show that he was a monk. He wore his kalimafi and the garb of a simple priest. Father Avmenius, likewise, when he would come into Athens, he came with his kalimafi. They avoided displaying their ascetic identity. They felt that the other people should not notice that they were monks. They tried to hide their monastic identity to avoid praise. And I used to watch this light around Father Porfirios. Later on, I went to the chapel of the polyclinic hospital because I was passing outside, and I heard the sounds of a divine liturgy, and I was drawn inside to light a candle. And to my great surprise, I see this light-bearing priest celebrating the divine liturgy with angels hovering around and above his right and left side.
I was mesmerized. I sat there dumbfounded, saying to myself, what great grace this man has been granted from God to liturgize with angels. At the end of the divine liturgy, I saw a couple of other priests go inside the altar to receive his blessing. And I thought, why don't I go inside myself to meet this man of grace? And people in the meantime told me that this is Father Porfirius. So I went inside, and I made a prostration in front of him, and he prostrated in front of me as well. And I told him, Father Porfirius, what great grace you have been given by God to liturgize with angels. What did he tell you, Elder? I asked. He responded with a smile and said, and what great grace God has also given you, Father Evmenios, to see these angels whom I don't see. This is so beautiful, Your Eminence. Indeed, this is so beautiful. So while Father Porfirius was not seeing the angels, Father Evmenios, the simple one, could see them. When I was ordained, Father Evmenios continued, Father Porfirius sent me a small note with three statements, but I will never reveal these exhortations to anyone, and he never did. Now, it is possible that these elders foresaw that someday I would be serving the Church of Cyprus in this capacity, and they revealed all this wealth to us to be able to share with the Christians of Morphou. They even told me ahead of time, prophetically, Elder Porfirius and Elder Iakovos, they said that there will come a time when you will become a bishop, and they will invite you to say and speak about the things you saw around Dom Iakovos, and you will speak in order to strengthen the faith of God's people. So I feel indebted to bear witness to the holiness of God's saintly elders, and I pray and hope that this information does not simply provide me and the people of God of Cyprus with some spiritual enthusiastic impressions, but to enhance our faith to emulate and follow the example of these people of holiness, especially in these difficult days that lie ahead. And I especially pray, Mr. Clito, for all of us to conceive the spirit of these holy people, a spirit that celebrates life, that life is worth living, that we can rejoice, show patience if this life comes along with some suffering, and to live the life of Christ as much as we can, and to try not to be anxious about the future. People who live the present in Christ Jesus, Christ becomes the future of their entire existence, their entire world. He's the master of the entire universe. He's the master of the past, the present, and the future. Amen.
Βαθέωνε και κραξάσει κύριε κύριε, εις ακούσον της φωνής μου.
Amen.
γεννηθεί το τάωτα σου προσέχοντα, εις την φωνή της Δεϊσέως μου. Εσπερίνιμ προσκύνησιν προσφερόμενσι το ανεσπέρο ότι το επιτένει το Κατά λοιπόν.